Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is found the first verse of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Once again, we are very appreciative of you, your presence, your attendance, your desire, as it were, to be here as we worship God on His day, in His way, and we're so thankful for you being here. I do want to say thank you for those who came out and made our singing a success. A phenomenal crowd. Phenomenal praises lifted to the Lord, and that couldn't have been done without your assistance. And so those that were here, we appreciate that. We look forward to doing that again, Lord willing, again at least next year, if not even sooner than that. I do have in my notes, Rainfall, happy birthday. Want to make sure I said that, so I have got that out of the way. Happy birthday to you. I remembered. There was this old boy who wanted so badly to be in a management position. He was just doing everything. He was brown-nosing, sucking up, whatever you want to call it. And as it would happen, his boss just dropped dead one day. And that was late at night. And he shows up at work early the next morning, finds the chairman of the board and said, "I hate the situation that we are now in, but I would like to take my boss's place." And the chairman of the board, that just ran all over him. He said, "Well, I guess you can if you think you can fit in the casket with him." Troy, it's not good, is it? Oh, well. We're going to study from the Old Testament today, but we're going to study from the New Testament as well. Going through, we pick up some of these lessons as we can. Studying some types and anti-types. Something from the Old Testament, and we bring it through to the New Testament. And hopefully we come through this with a better understanding, not only of something that we know in the Old, but even a better understanding, if you will, of something in the New. And so today I want us to look at Joshua as a type of Christ. Now I don't know why those all didn't just show up. Types and anti-types are the technical term of what we're looking at. And it's a way of God prefiguring things of the future. The type is something in the Old Testament. The Hebrew writer calls it a shadow of things to come. The type is not the thing itself, but it was indicative of the type. The anti-type would be its fulfillment then in the New Testament. If you will, you may want to place a ribbon marker in the book of Joshua, because we're going to look at Joshua and then we're going to compare him to Christ. But before we do that, I want us to go to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 27, and I want us to read verse 15 through the end of that chapter, and we'll see the selection of Joshua as the successor to Moses. See, Moses lived 120 years. Moses led God's people out of the land of Egypt. That's the whole premise of the book of Exodus. And he guided them through the 40 years of the wilderness wandering. But he didn't get to go in the promised land because of his disobedience. Now he got to see it. Moses got to see it. Joshua and Caleb were two of the 12 spies. They were the only two that gave a positive report. Because of that, both Joshua and Caleb get to go into the promised land. Everybody else, age 20 and above, they would die over the next 40 years of wilderness wandering. Joshua's very interesting. We're first introduced to him in Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 9. He just shows up. There's really no lineage, no background on him. But the time would come when Moses is no longer going to be the leader. So what do we do? They'd never had a changing of the guard. They'd never had a leader before Moses. So what do we do? Notice here with me Numbers 27, beginning in verse 15. "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of all spirits, the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation," or the assembly there, "which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. Give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out, his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. And he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. He laid his hands upon him, gave him a charge, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. So God handpicked Joshua to be Moses' successor. I want us to compare and contrast Joshua with Jesus Christ, shall we? And if you're taking notes, here's how I have my notes maybe set up. This might help you. Just draw a line. And in one column, we're going to look at Joshua. In the other column, we're going to look at Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at some similarities between them, which will help us better understand Joshua, even more so Jesus. And the first is I want to look at their names. So let's look at Joshua's name. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, once again. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. In Hebrew, Joshua's name is Yeshua, which means God is salvation. So that's Joshua's name. We have it anglicized English for us as Joshua. But I want you to go to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21. I want you to notice here that in the Hebrew, Jesus' name is Yeshua. It's the same name. It's a shortened form of Joshua's Old Testament name. Jesus has that same name in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, notice here. And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, or Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. So Joshua's name means that God is salvation. And Jesus' name means God is salvation. They have the same name. Well, I find that very interesting. What other similarities then, as we move on, can we find? Well, I want us to look at leadership. Go back to the book of Joshua. Let's read the first 9 chapters of the book now. We're not going to read the whole book of Joshua, don't worry, although it is an interesting study. Joshua was chosen by God to lead God's people into the promised land. Pick up Joshua chapter 1. We just read verse 1, so we'll pick up in verse 2, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stay before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee, not to turn to it from the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. I just counted 3 times in those verses. He said, be of good courage. God said, I'm giving you this land, but you got to lead them into it. And these first 9 verses set up the entire rest of Joshua, the remaining this chapter and the 23 that follow it, of the conquest into the land of Canaan. Well, that was the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Jesus Christ was chosen by God to lead God's people to the ultimate land, the ultimate promised land, that is heaven, the land of eternal life. Go to me to the book of Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 10, where the Hebrew writer spends a whole book proving that Jesus is better than the Old Testament. But notice what he says here. He's just said how Jesus, verse 9, should taste of death for every man, for it became him of whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through their sufferings. He was their captain. Captain would lead people behind him. Jesus Christ was chosen by God to lead us, God's children. We are spiritual Israel, members of the church we are, to lead us into that promised land of eternal life. Our promised land is not of an eternal dwelling on the earth. It's not some land promise that you and I will live on for centuries to come. Our promise is of an eternal life, a spiritual home. I find that comparison interesting. Let's move on. Because both of them were obedient. You know, Joshua was obedient to God. Really, I've got there chapter 11. You could really read the entirety of the 11th chapter. That's in the part of the book where they are just going conquest after conquest. To set up the book of Joshua, chapter 6, they take over Jericho. Chapter 7, they disobey. At the end of chapter 6, end of chapter 7, Achan disobeys. They were told not to take anything. Achan had those Achan eyes, and he saw things, and he wanted to keep them. So they're punished. After they're punished, they realize we better do what God has said to do. I want you to notice here verse 15 of Joshua 11. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Every command that God gave to Joshua through, or Moses even gave, Joshua was obedient. We might even say today he was obedient to the letter. Obeyed in every aspect. Well, as we look at his antitype then in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, he obeyed God's will. He leads us to victory over sin. See, Joshua just led to physical victories. Now, they were still victories for God's people. But today, through Jesus Christ and his obedience to God's commands and God's will, he leads us to spiritual victory. Notice here 1 John 1, beginning in verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and his truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. See, Jesus was obedient to God's will. And if we are obedient to God's will, we continue to walk in that light as he is in that light, then we continue to remain in God's good graces. But dear friends, if you step out of that light, if you no longer follow after him, you're not in God's good graces. You have stepped away from his promises. Notice also, if you will, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Colossians 2, 15, verse 14 just talks about how he took the Old Testament and he nailed it to the cross. No longer living under the teachings of the Old Testament, now under the New Covenant. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, I don't think that Paul necessarily had Joshua in mind when he made that comparison. But as you read through the end of the book of Joshua, openly did he display God's might over the enemies. Jesus Christ openly showed his obedience and the futility of Satan's powers time and time again. So both Jesus and Joshua were obedient. Let's move on to our next one. Both of them acted by faith. Both Joshua and Jesus. Now with Joshua, you remember chapter 6, we studied this one. in Vacation Bible School. We come to the great walled city of Jericho. Walls were so thick, you could ride two chariots on the top of the walls and they wouldn't touch. That's how wide they were. Up on a hill, it was a magnificent city. They found ruins of it that tell us these things today. God said, I'm going to give you Jericho, but here's how I want you to do it. I want you to go out there on day one. I want you to march around the city. You got everything on that you would need for battle. But you're going to march all the way around the city, but you're not going to say a word. And then you're going to go home. And then on day two, you're going to repeat the process. Go out, march around, come back, go home. Day three, the same. Day four, the same. Day five, the same. Day six, the same. Why would God do this? Well, he had them all circumcised in chapter five. They've got to build their strength for one reason. And God has to teach them, number two, for full reliance upon him. You know the story on the seventh day? God says, I want you to go, but after you make that first lap, I want you to turn and lap them again. And I want you to go around seven times. I can only imagine what's going through the people of Jericho's minds. Obviously on the first day. And then the second day, probably by the third day, they've got a crowd to come watch this. And on the seventh day, their minds must have been blown when the Israelites turn and make a second lap. And a third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. At the time after they finish the seventh, they still haven't touched the building. Or haven't touched the walls. Then they chant, they cry, the priest about blow the horns, and you know the walls fall down. Well, it would take a lot of faith to go and destroy a city without ever touching a thing. Notice how the Hebrew writer sums this up in Hebrews 11 and verse number 30. The hall of fame of faith, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30. I think this sums it up very well. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. That's faith building. That's requiring a great amount of faith. The walls of Jericho fell by faith. What about us today, dear friends? Under Jesus Christ, we must have faith. See, by faith, they were able to enter into Jericho and destroy the city. You and I today, by faith, we enter into Christ by obedient faith. Notice here, James, just a book over. James chapter 2 and verse 24. James 2, 24. James says, you see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. We got to start by faith, but when he says obedient faith, we act upon it. It's not faith only. He's going to say that faith without works is dead. There, verse 26, not by faith only, verse 24, faith and works. Well, the people in Joshua's day, didn't they have a work as well? Yeah, they believed that that was going to happen, but they still had to go out and march around the city a total of 13 times, six days, one time a day, seven times on the last. We must have faith. See how Paul writes to those at the church at Rome. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 5, faith is imperative, dear friends. For what you and I do in this world. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. To the what, Paul? To the faith. And then see how he almost closes out the book, one verse shy. Romans 16:26, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Dear friends, by faith, you and I, we enter into Christ. Let's move on, or we could get bogged down. I could preach for 2 hours on Jericho, but we won't. I want to think about Joshua as a moment as a mediator, as a go-between, an arbitrator, if you will. See, Joshua, he was the mediator between God and his people. And he made a covenant with them at the end of the book of Joshua that they were to serve God. Notice here in Joshua 24, the last chapter, verses 25, 6, and 7. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. And he set a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote the words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord, words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny his God, or deny your God. See, the people went to Joshua. He turned around and spoke to God. And then God spoke to Joshua. He turned around and told it to the people. He was their mediator, their go-between. Dear friends, today under the New Testament, Jesus Christ is our mediator between God and man. And you know, Jesus Christ, he made a new covenant as well, didn't he? And his covenant is the New Testament, which you and I are bound to today. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse number 6. Notice here. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also Jesus, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with him, he said, Behold, the days come, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, says the Lord. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God. They shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor, but every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And that he says, a new covenant he had made the old, the first old. And he decayed and waxed old, is ready to vanish away. Jesus Christ is our mediator. I pray to God through Jesus Christ. In his name, the name of Jesus, we pray. And then he turns it over to the Father. And he communicates what I have to say to the Father. And he left me a new and better covenant than that old one. So both Jesus and Joshua are both mediators. But let's move on. I want to look at the idea of a crossing, if you will. A couple of times in the book of Joshua, but one of them, the Israelites, they have to cross the Jordan River. Once they cross that Jordan River, they start to receive blessings of being in the promised land. Now, when they were on the other side of the Jordan, they didn't receive these blessings. They had to cross through the Jordan River. Now, notice here Joshua 5 and verse 12, And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. This side of the Jordan, you get manna. Literally means what? It's just made, God made it appear. And you get quail. You cross through the Jordan. On the other side, you get to eat the fruit of the land of Canaan. No more eating manna. No more having to eat quail. You can still eat quail, but you don't have to. On the other side, but see, they had to cross through to receive that blessing. What about us today, dear friends, under Jesus Christ? When we are baptized into Christ, that brings all the blessings that reside in Him. Go with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Galatians 3, 27, Paul says, For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Now, what you think about physically crossing this river? It had dried up, so they literally went down and they came back out on the other side. Dear friends, is not baptism the same way? You go down into that watery grave, baptized into Christ, and you come back out on the other side a changed person. The Israelites were different once they went into the land of Canaan. They were reaping the blessings of God. Dear friends, as a Christian, once you've been baptized, you start to reap the blessings right then and there. Membership in the greatest family there ever could be, the church, the Lord, the Church of Jesus Christ, fellowship one with another, the opportunity to remember His death, the first day of the week, every first day of the week. So many blessings. Your sins are washed away. Faithful adherence to His commands receives a crown of life. Those are a whole lot of blessings that you only get in Christ, but you had to cross through water to get there. Let's look at two more in the lesson's yours. I want to think about some miracles. This is maybe my one favorite story in the entire of the Old Testament. And there's a lot of good ones in there. I'll give it to you. I mean, Balaam's donkey that talks, that's pretty cool. Jericho's pretty cool. The ark's pretty cool. I have always loved the story in Joshua chapter 10. They're fighting a battle. And as the sun is going down, Joshua realizes that the more the sun goes down, the more the Israelites start to lose the battle. So he prays to God, God, let this sun stand still. And God adheres to that. Notice here, Joshua 10, verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hastened not to go down about a whole day. There was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto a voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua performed a miracle. He commanded the sun to stand still. You ever thought about what else that would entail? That means that God is showing off in my mind, because that means God makes gravity stay where we are, makes everything else have to pause that's rotating out there, all so His people can win the battle. Dear friends, that is a miracle. There is no doubt about it, no question in my mind. Nobody else could do something like this save God. What about Jesus Christ? You know, He performed miracles. And when He did that, He was able to control nature. We could go down a rabbit hole looking at miracles. Let's just look at one, though, in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. The same day, He said unto them, let us pass to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And so they sent away the multitude. They took Him, even as He was in the ship. There were other little ships there with Him. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the ship, that it was now full. And in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillows, Jesus. And they awake Him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose, rebuked the wind, said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, there was a great calm, and He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? For they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey Him? Joshua made the sun and the moon stand still. Jesus, with three words, peace be still, He calmed the raging sea. Colossians 1 also talks about the miracles that Christ performed, but I think the peace be still will suffice. Both Joshua and Jesus were able to do miracles. Let's look at our last one, though. And these are followers. Both had followers. Joshua led Israel, God's chosen people. I put there as a reference, go back and read the book of Joshua. That's the whole point of the book. Joshua led God's people. Today, Jesus Christ leads all people of all nations who obey Him. He said in the Great Commission, the way that Mark records it at least, in Mark 16, 15, and 16, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be damned or condemned. So that tells me that anybody that is willing to believe and be obedient upon that, hearing, believing, repent, confess, be baptized, anybody that's doing that, He says, will be saved. And then Jesus becomes our leader. Notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5 and verse 9, our last reference of the sermon. And being made perfect or complete, He, Jesus Christ, He became the author of salvation unto all them that obey Him. I like to say Jesus Christ wrote the book on salvation. He's the author of it. And He's got a place in that book for you. But the Hebrew writer says, unto all them that obey Him. Who knew there were so many great lessons from the man whose name is Joshua? So why not follow the New Testament Joshua? Why not follow Jesus Christ? Become obedient to Him. Cross through that water grave of baptism. Have your sins forgiven. And then continue to be a follower of Him every day of your life. If you're not a Christian, as we sing this invitation song, we would like to encourage you to become a Christian, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. Go down that watery grave, come out a new creature, alive in Christ. I do want to make mention that the Lord's invitation is always open, and you don't have to become a Christian during the middle or during the end of a worship service. We can do it after or whenever you need to. The book of Acts shows there is urgency in the plan, but whenever you are ready to obey, this just happens to be a convenient time. Likewise, if those need to respond for prayers for strength and encouragement, repentance, we're here for that. We'd love to assist you as well. If we can help in any way, we humbly ask you, let it be known while we stand and while we sing.